Ok, Cecil. Good morning.
Good morning,
and welcome to the worship services of Grace United Methodist Church on this beautiful Sunday morning. We're glad you're here. We are once again coming to you from the sanctuaries of Grace United Methodist Church on Harbison Boulevard here in Columbia, South Carolina, and this is our official first day of in-person worship resuming, and we thank all of you that came out to worship with us. We also welcome all of you who have been and are continuing to join us online. We appreciate your attendance as well, and hope that you will be glorified through our service. During the week, our pastor is very, very devoted to sending out information. We get something out every day. If you're not on that email list, if you'll call the church office, or maybe you send an email to the pastor so he can know what your email address is, we can make sure that you get added to that list, and you can be uplifted by those devotions as we all are that are receiving them now. We are announcing today that the pastor is going to be on vacation, leaving after the service this morning. There is information in the bulletin, which is online, for you to, if you have a pastoral emergency, there is a pastor on call for us. Her name is in the bulletin, and I would encourage you to go to the bulletin to find that information. Also, with the pastor on vacation this week, we'll not be having our Wednesday night Zoom fellowship, nor next Sunday morning Zoom fellowship. We will be having it this morning at 10 o'clock. So if you, after you leave the service, if you're watching this at 8:30 or you're planning on watching it at 11 o'clock, come on out, get a cup of coffee and come and see the faces of your Grace members. It's been a long time since we've seen each other, and this gives you an opportunity to do that. We rejoice with everyone who's celebrating birthdays and anniversaries this week, especially Charlene, Christine, Veronica, John, and Jeff. And we also wish a happy anniversary to Ivan and Rebecca, and my wife and I joined that list of anniversaries this week too. So again, very, very happy anniversary to all who are celebrating their anniversaries this week. The flowers this week are put in the church in honor of those people that have been coming out over the last couple of months to make sure that this service gets out to those that need it on Sunday mornings. Very, very nice dedication, and you'll find that dedication in your bulletin. If there are no other announcements to be made this morning, I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." Let us prepare our hearts, our minds, and our spirits for worship. Thank you.
As we enter into worship today, I just want to remind those who are in attendance in person that our guidelines are for you not to participate in any spoken or sung parts of the service. You're invited to meditate and respond in your hearts at those points where you would previously have been speaking or singing. You're also asked to remain seated throughout the service, except for the reading of the scripture lesson where we'll be inviting you to stand for the reading of God's word. Those worshiping online at home are encouraged to sing, stand, and respond out loud, as we've been doing over these past weeks. Also, just want to say a word that you'll notice that as those of us who are going to be leading vocally in worship, either spoken or sung, stand to do so, we'll be removing our masks. This is for our sound, as well as for proper breathing technique for our singers. And so we ask your understanding on that, as we want to continue to bring the best quality worship as we possibly can. We got everybody socially distanced out here, but we are going to be removing our masks as those who lead have to step to the mic to do so. And now let us pray. Faithful God, your love stands firm from generation to generation. Your mercy is always abundant. Give us open and understanding hearts that hearing your word, we may seek Christ's presence in all whom we meet. Amen.
Those at home, please join with us as we sing Blessed Assurance.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending ring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Amen. This morning, I want to say a special welcome to the children who are worshiping at home with us. For the ways that your families have gathered you together for worship this morning, and that you've come to hear and worship with us. We're grateful, and we thank God for each and every one of you, and that you're with us this morning. So good morning to you. And this morning I want to talk a little bit about the ways that God connects us together, because God connects us together in some amazing ways as the church. God knits us together, weaves us together, binds us together by God's grace and with God, so that we become one body. In Scripture, the Apostle Paul talks about us being one body and all connected together, all a part of the body of Christ and connected with one another. And our scripture is actually going to be from Matthew, and Jesus talks a little bit about our connection to one another as well, and the ways that we're all connected together in the church through mission and ministry, and the ways that we come together. And one of my favorite little toys that's in my office, I have to have things to play with when I'm at work. It's just how it happens. And so I've got these little guys right here, and these are some magnets. And they're good little magnets because they'll hold pretty much through a lot of different stuff. And they do this nice little fun trick here. Let's see if we can capture this. Y'all in the room, get ready, okay? Y'all just be prepared. Let's see if it comes through. I don't know. Do you hear the little buzz? There it goes. As they come back together, they make a nice little high-pitched noise, which, you know, I'm sure Mr. Bill here in the office really enjoys when I get these out and put them on my desk and they zzz together. But so we can see these magnets are drawn together, and you know, right now we're separated in the sanctuary, we're separated by screens and at home, but even though these magnets might get separated by a little bit of distance, by a mask maybe, by whatever, they'll still hold together. They'll still cling to one another. They'll still hold who they are and come back together, and eventually they'll get to come back together and make a joyful noise, and we know that that's going to be the case for us too. And so on this first Sunday, as we've opened our return process, and everybody's going to be coming as they want to, I just wanted to remind all of you kids at home that we're connected together, that God has put us together stronger than even these magnets, that we hold together because God has bound us together as the body of Christ. And God has given us what we need to be the church, even right now when we're separated, even when we can't necessarily be together in the ways we want to be all the time and see our friends and see one another. But God has bound us together nonetheless. And so we praise God for that this morning, and I hope you'll go to God in prayer with me now. Dear God, thank you for binding us together, for pulling us together as the body of Christ, for making us one body under Jesus. And we ask that you would remind us of this every day. Amen. This morning, as we continue in our worship and turn our attention to prayer and lifting our prayers, I want to remind you that if you have prayer concerns you'd like to share with the church in worship or through the prayer concerns list in the bulletin, you can email me at pastor@gracecolumbia.org. On Thursday of each week, there's a prayer email sent to all on the church email list. This includes the prayers that we've prayed the previous Sunday. So this Sunday's prayers will be emailed out on Thursday. It includes those that have been asked to be spoken and links to other prayer resources on Thursday. So if you'd like to be added to that, you can email me again at pastor@gracecolumbia.org, or you can email Bill at office@gracecolumbia.org, and we'll either one of us can get you added to that email list. Again, by way of reminder, those worshiping in person this morning are reminded to pray the Lord's Prayer in their hearts when we reach that portion of our prayers. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, O God, eternal Spirit. We call on your name and sing your mighty deeds. You call the worlds into being, create us in your image, and set before us the ways of life and death. You judge lives and nations by your righteous will declared through prophets and apostles. In Jesus of Nazareth, our crucified and risen Christ, you have come to us and shared our common lot, conquering sin and death and reconciling the world to yourself. You bestow upon us your Holy Spirit, creating and renewing the church of Jesus Christ. Binding in covenant, faithful people of all ages, tongues, and races, you call us into your church to accept the cost and joy of discipleship, to be your servants in serving humanity, to proclaim the gospel to all the world and resist the powers of evil, to share with Jesus Christ in the waters of baptism and the breaking of bread, to join Christ in suffering and in victory. And so today we pray for all those who cannot leave their homes and apartments, especially for Ernestine, Violet, Ed, Peter, Flora, June, Marion, Jeanette, and all who are highly vulnerable to COVID-19 at this time. For all those suffering from other ailments, for whom treatment is now more difficult and dangerous. For all those who are grieving. For the family and friends of Tom Rayburn, who passed away last Wednesday. He's the stepfather to Sandra McCravey. For Jackie Daniel. For Mikey, Kristen, and Andrew. Kristen is currently recovering from surgery that was performed on Monday. For Kim and David. Kim is Kathy Jennings' sister. For Bev, Kathy Jennings' friend. For Bernard Presley's father and mother, who are both ill at this time. For Steve and Jody Webster. For Luther, Bill Cranford's father. For Rita Pardue. For Janice Seeley. For Renee Laird, a friend of Betty Arant. For Samantha, Alice Jones' friend's niece, who's received a diagnosis with a long course of treatment. For one-year-old Bennett, who was hospitalized last week and is now facing surgery. For Joe, Kitty Fashing's brother, who was diagnosed with cancer. For Wendy, Ken and Kitty's daughter-in-law, a Bilo pharmacist who lost her position in the closure of the store. For all healthcare workers, our veterans and VA staff. For all the members of Grace and their families. For all those on our prayer concerns list and for those prayer concerns that go unspoken on our hearts this day. And for our nation, for the systemic racism and culture of white supremacy to be eradicated from our shared life together. You promise to all who trust you forgiveness of their sins and fullness of grace, O God. Courage in the struggle for justice and peace, your presence in trial and rejoicing, and eternal life in your realm which has no end. Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto you, and we continue to pray as Christ taught us by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Rock of Ages, cleft for me.
Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be a sin the double cure. Save judgment. yourself in me.
Thank you. Please stand for the reading of the scripture lesson.
Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 10, verses 40 through 42. Hear these words of the Lord. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
So one of the things that's happened over the years in the church and kind of Christian thought is that we've tended here recently to overemphasize our individuality in the context of our faith. We've started to give ourselves kind of prime importance and billing within our understanding of what it means to be disciples. We believe that what ultimately matters is our relationship with Jesus and nothing else. Just that. Our relationship with Jesus and nothing else. That if we have that deep personal relationship, we are saved. And now that is true. It's true, we have to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and that through that relationship, through our faith in Jesus, we are saved. The problem is that it's that first part of that where we've come to believe that that relationship is what ultimately matters and nothing else. That's the part that's become the problem. That's this overemphasis on our personal individuality within our faith life. But you see, there's an issue because there's not really a whole lot of evidence for that kind of a belief in Scripture. Not when you take Scripture as a whole, not when you take the New Testament as a whole. You can pick and choose a few verses here and there, and you can make a case by just proof texting. That's what that's called, pulling what you want to see from the text. But this understanding that what ultimately matters and that nothing else really does, that it's just about me and Jesus, that's not really there in Scripture. It comes more from Enlightenment thinking and extrapolation from that in the past few hundred years, really, than it does anything previous to that and anything in Scripture, anything in the theological tradition of the church. You got to think about Descartes, right? I think, therefore I am. It's a lot of I statements. This look at the individual has more to do with that Enlightenment thinking than it does with what God tells us through Scripture, what we hear in the witness of Scripture. You see, what we see in Scripture is that there is no real concept of individualism. There's no real concept of individualism. For this reason, there's also no concept of communalism either. We're not going to swing back to that way. Well, all in Scripture, it's just everything's held in common. Well, that's not really true either. What it really means, what we see in Scripture, is there's no real debate over the relative merits of each happening in Scripture. This debate between individualism and communalism, this dualism, is not there in Scripture. Right? It's not that everything in Scripture points to some kind of communal personality and identity. It's that the dualistic distinction of individual versus communal doesn't exist. They weren't thinking about it. People in Jesus' day and most of the days of human history, in fact, didn't think in those terms the way that we do, with a strict demarcation between my rights and individuality and personality and that of my neighbors. This poses a significant problem for us as modern Christians. We've been steeped in this idea that we exist, and our relationship with Jesus is the only thing that matters. We've percolated in it. We've come to absorb it. We've come to swim in it. So it poses a problem for us because the biblical writers weren't speaking that language. They weren't thinking in those terms. They didn't have any concept of this idea. And so one of the keys for us to think about this more clearly is to take the biblical metaphor more seriously than we often do. This biblical metaphor from Paul, where we hear that the church is the body of Christ. This can help us as modern Christians to understand what's going on in Scripture. When I was 9 years old and headed into the fourth grade, I fell into a ski rope while double kneeboarding on the Waccamaw River. My brother and I we'd been kneeboarding for a long time at that point in time. We grew up behind a boat, it feels like, tethered to a ski rope, and we'd been kneeboarding and learning to ski and doing all those fun things. And this particular summer, late summer day, I fell after my brother had dropped, and I rolled into the ski rope, and it wrapped around my leg when I fell as I was rolling through the water. And when the slack pulled taut, my femur cracked and my ACL snapped on both ends. 9 years old. A broken femur was apparent pretty quickly. It was a hairline crack, but it was still apparent pretty quickly, and led to a cast for 12 weeks. Spent my first 12 weeks of fourth grade in a cast, learning to do all sorts of things I shouldn't have on crutches, like kick a soccer ball. Shouldn't kick a soccer ball when you're on crutches. Just word of advice. I was casted for 12 weeks, but the ACL didn't get discovered until a few weeks after I got out of the cast. I would be walking along, just nothing serious, just regular 9-year-old stuff, just walking, and would collapse to the ground in excruciating pain in my left knee. We went and had an MRI, and they saw some frayed cartilage, and they decided to go in and arthroscopically repair that and do a little investigating. And it was during that surgery that they discovered that at the time of my broken femur, my ACL had torn on both ends. And over the course of those 12 or 16 weeks, my body had done its job of removing dead tissue. There was nothing left of my ACL by the time they went in. So because of all of that, and because of what had to be done to replace my ACL eventually, I had to wait 6 years before I could have surgery to fully repair my knee. So 6 years, from 9 to 15, I wore a full knee brace. It was molded to my knee. Every 6 months or so, I would go in to my orthopedic surgeon's office. He would cast my leg with the attendant from the knee brace company. They would take that cast and they would create a knee brace that was fitted to my leg for as long as it would last for a growing boy at that point in time. So I wore this full knee brace. Think of the things that you see offensive linemen wear to protect their knees. That was what I was wearing. 9 to 15, every day, every morning I put it on, every evening I took it off, and it stayed on all day long. And that was to prevent my knee from collapsing on itself as I walked around. That was the source of the pain. I'd be walking, and because that ACL holds everything together, when I would walk, you know, your knee's supposed to do like this, mine would do like this, and just slide off to one way or the other. So I walked around with that way, and had to avoid, in addition to the brace was there, it was great, but I had to avoid certain activities like basketball, football, soccer, surfing, skateboarding, water skiing, wakeboarding, kneeboarding, jumping on the trampoline, and anything else my orthopedic surgeon deemed too risky for my knee. In a stroke of luck, one of the things that left was baseball. So baseball was already my first love, and I got to continue to play baseball, but I had to be careful. All because I was missing one little ligament. Just one little ligament. Doesn't seem like a big deal. Missing one ligament, why all this fuss? It's a relatively minor thing in the long run to be missing from one's body one little ligament, and yet its absence was felt, I'll tell you that much. But I couldn't feel that it was missing, so to speak, until I needed it to do its job. I also didn't start thinking of each individual part of my body as distinct from my body in that time. Like, oh, now's my other ligament. I wasn't thinking about my other ligament. I wasn't thinking about all of the other parts of my body as somehow distinct, even though I had one that was missing now. Even though they're all needed to keep me, while at the same time I remained me, even though one was missing. You see what I'm saying? This begins to get at the biblical understanding of the individual community and society. And many of us know this by thinking through our own understanding of ourselves, our embodied experience, our being. We don't think of each individual part and process of our bodies as distinct from us, even when one stops working, gets hurt, or perhaps is missing. It doesn't stop being us. It doesn't start being some other entity. It's still us. So when we hear about the church being the body of Christ, we should have this same understanding in mind. This is our metaphor that we're given in Scripture to think about this understanding of individual and communal and the ways we interact with the world. The body of Christ is made up of the members, but it is primarily still the body of Christ. Just as you and I are made up of our members, but we're still primarily us. We're not a collection of body parts. We're us. So is the church. This is our metaphor. And then in this passage that Sam read for us, we see the indivisible fabric of interrelatedness between individual disciples and the community of faith put on display, right? Paul later describes it as the body of Christ, but here Jesus is describing how it plays out in the interplay between the disciples and those to whom they are sent. But he's also describing how we all participate in each other's mission and ministry through mutual support, encouragement, and hospitality. Jesus says that when we support and welcome each other in mission, we are participating in that mission and ministry all the way up to participating with God through Jesus Christ. Think about that for a minute. This is how connected we are. When somebody walks in and we welcome them, we begin to be a part of their mission and ministry. Whatever God has called them to do, we are a part of that when we welcome them in hospitality. And not just welcoming them, we're not just participating with them. When we welcome them, we welcome Christ. And when we welcome Christ, we welcome God. We participate from top to bottom and wide out with one another in this cosmic mission of the church, in this interplay between us as the individual members who make up the body of Christ and who then live out that mission in the world. The flow that Jesus describes is quite profound in its scope. It describes a much more tightly knit relationship between the church, Jesus, and God than we oftentimes live out. We don't think about it in those terms, that when we're welcoming somebody, we're welcoming Jesus and welcoming God, that when we welcome someone, whatever their ministry and mission is, we're participating with them by our welcome of them, by the hospitality that we show. When we welcome one another as disciples, we welcome Christ, and when we welcome Christ, we welcome God. This establishes the importance of welcome and hospitality, something this church does so well. Even in these times, online or in person, we welcome one another. And this welcome and hospitality goes beyond just making someone feel at home. When we welcome each other and new people into our midst, we are participating in their mission and ministry. If they have the gift of prophecy, we participate with them as a prophet. If they have the gift of teaching, we participate with them in teaching. If they have the gift of faith, we participate with them in their faith. If they have the gift of mission and outreach, we participate with them in mission and outreach. We participate with them when we welcome them in hospitality and welcome. And we participate in Jesus' mission and ministry, in God's mission and ministry, when we welcome them beyond just making them feel good and saying hello and being polite. We are participating with them. And Jesus goes on in this passage, and he strengthened this connection as he goes on to describe particular roles and relationships and the ways that offering welcome and hospitality and help to those who need it in their call and roles within the church will receive the same reward as those living out those calls and roles. It's not just that we participate in that mission and ministry. We become part of that ministry. In our welcome of a prophet, we become prophets. In our welcome of an apostle, we become apostles. In our welcome of those who have the gifts of prayer, we welcome and become a part of that ministry of prayer. This weaves our lives and ministries together into a fabric of connectedness that we often take for granted, or worse still, fail to live out altogether. We are so tightly bound up together with God that it's when we begin to live into it and welcome one another in it, you can't figure out where the person with the gift ends and the church that is supporting them begins. Too often we are content to believe that what we are passionate about, interested in, or called to is the only important thing. And we can just ignore all the other ministry happening around us through our brothers and sisters. You can probably see how our obsession with our individual identity and personal relationship with Jesus feeds this spiritual isolationism. When it's just about me and Jesus, I don't have to worry about welcoming somebody else. I don't have to worry about participating with them and encouraging them and upbuilding them. I just have to worry about me and Jesus. But what this passage and our embodied Christian identity reveal is that all are strengthened and uplifted when we take time to truly welcome one another, to hear about what each member is doing and find ways to support and encourage each other, even as simply as offering a cup of cold water. We are deeply connected to each other and to God through Jesus Christ. This deep connection goes beyond our choosing to be allied to one another. We are bound up with one another. We are connected and put together like the members of our bodies. And the more we communicate, support, and welcome one another, the deeper and richer our ministry and faith will grow. We are connected as the community of faith, as the body of Christ. We are connected to build one another up, to encourage one another, to participate with one another in each one's ministry and mission, to be a part of what God is doing through us, with us, and for us, each and every day. We need to pay attention to our connection. We need to pay attention to welcoming one another in hospitality and grace and encouragement. We need to lay aside our focus on ourselves, to focus on each other and on the mission and ministry of the church. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Almighty God, we give you thanks for binding us together, for pulling us together into the body of Christ, for giving us a role and a responsibility, a place in your church. For binding us together, for teaching us how to welcome one another as you have welcomed us in. Give us the grace and the strength, the courage to live as you have taught us to live, to be the church as you have taught us to be the church, support and encourage one another with everything we have and everything we are, so that your mission and ministry might be proclaimed to the ends of the earth. We ask these things in the name of Jesus, the Christ, who is our head. Amen. I want to invite those who are here in person to proclaim our Apostles' Creed and Gloria Patri in spirit and in truth, but in silence this morning as we join together in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Amen. As we prepare to give back to God out of all that God has so graciously given to us, I want to remind you of our giving options at Grace. You can continue to give online at gracecolumbia.org. There are giving links on the right-hand side of the homepage, at the top of the page, and on the left-hand side of the page, halfway down the page. From the giving page, you can set up an account or give as a guest. You can set up a recurring gift or give one time. You can give to the General Operating Fund or to one of the other funds for ministry and mission. You can also give by mailing in your offering or dropping it at the church using the mailbox outside. For those worshiping in person today, you can also place your offering in the offering plates at the doors as you leave worship today. You saw one there in the narthex, and there's one also over here next to the exit from the side. And so as you leave today, you're invited to place your offering in if you've brought it today and haven't already. I want to celebrate and just say thank you to Dr. John Waddell, who will be our preacher next week. He's preaching for me. Sam alluded to, I'll be on, or mentioned, I'll be on vacation next week. And so Dr. John Waddell is going to be preaching as our guest preacher. He's one of Grace's own, and we're grateful to him for filling the pulpit and leading in worship that way. And we also I also want to say thank you to Reverend Tammy Hawkins Gray, the pastor at Shady Grove UMC. She'll be filling in as our pastor on call in case there is a pastoral emergency. And as Sam mentioned, there's more information about how to reach her in the bulletin. This is our first Sunday back for return to in-person worship, so I want to celebrate all of you who've chosen to join us this day and to come and be a part of our worship here in the sanctuary. I want to celebrate all those who are worshiping online as well, who are continuing to make the best decision for you and for your family. I want to encourage everybody, always make the best decision for you and your family as you're deciding about coming to worship. And we will be continuing to evaluate our process, to evaluate the situation in our state and in our world as we continue to be in a pandemic, and the COVID-19 pandemic. So we'll continue to evaluate, but for now we're going to continue under our Grace Return to Worship plan for the next few weeks, at least we believe, Please remember that as we're going through this to update yourself on what that policy is, if you haven't already, continue to call to register your attendance ahead of time. That registration period begins on Monday mornings at noon and ends on Fridays at noon. And so we encourage you to call and register your attendance by calling the church office so that we can know you're coming, so we can make sure we're socially distanced in the space and that we are keeping everyone as safe as we possibly can. Having prepared our hearts and lives to give back to God this morning, let us pray. Gracious God, your hospitality has surrounded us and welcomed us. Even when we only grudgingly extend hospitality to sisters and brothers who are also your children, may we grow each day in our willingness to be welcoming disciples, not just to those who look like us, talk like us, or think like us. May our offering this morning be received not just in gratitude for your hospitality, but as our way to extend comfort and welcome to those for whom your love is a mystery. We pray in Christ's holy name. Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Those at home, please join with us in singing "Where Cross the Crowded Ways of Life."
Where cross the crowded ways of life, where sound the cries of race and clan, above the noise of selfish strife, we hear your voice, O Son of Man, in haunts of rest. On shadowed thresholds dark with fears, from paths where hide the lures of greed, we catch the vision of your tears. From tender childhood's helplessness, from woman's grief, man's burdened toil, from famished souls, from sorrow's stress, your heart has ever known recall. The cup of water given for you still holds the freshness of your grace, yet long these multitudes to view the sweet compassion of your face. O Master, from the mountainside, make haste to heal these hearts of pain. Among these restless throngs abide, O tread the city streets again, till all the world shall learn your law and follow where your feet have trod, till glorious from your heaven above shall come the city. of our God.
And our mission at Grace is to know Jesus and to make him known to others. After the benediction response, the ushers are going to come forward to direct you in exiting the building. Each person or family group is going to be dismissed one at a time. So those of you on the left side of the sanctuary, closest to my study, are going to be dismissed from front to back out of the door right here outside of my office. And then those of you on the right side of the sanctuary, closest to the church office, are going to be dismissed back to front out of the narthex. Please do not linger in the church or the doorways as you're exiting today. If you'd like to greet one another after the service, please do so in the parking lot in the nice fresh air and sunshine. And so we encourage you to do that. Now receive this benediction. Go therefore into the world ready to welcome one another, to welcome the stranger, to welcome all in the love and grace and mercy of God, so that all might know that you're a part of the body of Christ and that they're welcome in it too. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Sent forth by God's blessing, our true faith confessing, the people of God from this dwelling take please. Their service is ended, oh now be extended, the fruits of our worship in all who believe. The seed of the teaching, receptive souls reaching, shall blossom in action for God and for all. God's grace did invite us, and love shall unite.